Listening Library presents The Royal Ranger, Arazan's Wolves, by John Flanagan. Read for you by John Keating. Chapter 1. The three brothers had been hard at work since the sun had shown the first traces of pink over the hills to the east. Now it was slowly sinking to the rim of the western cliffs, and Owen Ap Jones, the eldest of the three, straightened his back painfully and leaned on the handle of his hoe. "That's enough for today," he said. Wearily, he surveyed the field he and his brothers had been working on all day. It was poor ground, hard and filled with rocks, and difficult to till. The task wasn't made any easier by the quality of the tools they had to use. The metal was soft and easily deformed. Owen glanced down at the blade of his hoe and frowned, as he noticed three new notches in the edge and one section where the blade had curled back on itself. He'd have to hammer that out overnight and file out the notches before the tool would be serviceable again. Even though the field wasn't a big one, he estimated that it would take them another 2 days' hard labour, hacking rows, removing rocks, and turning the thin topsoil, before they could begin to plant their crop of beans. He shrugged. Life as a farmer in Celtica was hard. The land was better suited to mining, but there were no deposits of iron or silver on their land, and their only choice was to farm or starve. Griff and Di, Owen's younger brothers, both stopped working as he spoke. "Curse this ground," Griff said bitterly. He kicked at a rock close by his foot, sending it skittering. "We'll spend hours, days, hacking away at it, and for what?" Neither of the others answered, so he continued. "For beans, beans, who can live on beans?" Di shrugged. "Well, we do," he replied. Griff was the youngest brother and was inclined to be the moodiest of the three. Owen and Di had learned to accept life as it came. Complaining about their lot, they knew, was a waste of time and energy. Life was what it was, and no amount of whining or ranting would change that. Their father had died at a relatively young age, worn out from the effort of tending their field and providing for his family. At least, Owen thought, the three brothers could share the work. "Let's go," he said now, putting an arm around his young brother's shoulders. "Mam will have supper ready for us." "Bean soup," Griff muttered angrily. Although, at the thought of food, his stomach rumbled. They'd eaten at midday, stopping for half an hour for a meal of bread and cheese, washed down with watered ale. There had been no breakfast. The farm could only provide two meals a day, both of them simple and without any appetite appeal. "Bean soup, bread and cheese," he continued, listing the unvarying contents of their daily menu. "Who can live on that? The miners eat meat twice a week, and they have porridge on the other days." "So they say," Owen replied. He wasn't sure that the miners in their village of Podranyth were completely trustworthy about the quality of the meals they enjoyed. Miners were notoriously mendacious. Still, he thought, they probably lived better than he and his brothers did. "We should be ready to plant in another 2 days," he said, hoping to change the subject.
"2 days," Griff exclaimed. "2 days, grubbing and hacking and hoeing. If we had a donkey and a plough, we'd get it done in half the time."
"We don't have either," Owen said in a reasonable tone. But Griff wasn't to be diverted from his litany of complaints.
"David Ap Davis has both. He could lend them to us."
David Ap Davis was another farmer in Podranyth. But he had three fields, all on better, more fertile ground than the single rocky plot that the Ap Jones brothers worked. As a result, his crops were larger, and he could afford to sell some of his extra produce to the miners in the village.
"He'd charge us for them," Di put in gloomily.
Griff's anger flared once again.
"Aye, that he would, and at a crippling price. He'd never think of lending them to help us.
Why should he? Owen said. A mule only has so many hours of work in its life, and chances are our rocky ground would damage the plough. He'd have every right to charge us.
There was no real answer to that, Griff knew, but his brother's stolid acceptance of the life they shared continued to annoy him. He glared at the rocky ground as they trudged away from the half-prepared field toward the village. It was a 2 kilometer walk, and mostly uphill. Their elongated shadows preceded them, rippling strangely over the uneven ground. Owen sighed, glad that Griff's complaining had finally died away. It was the same every day. His brother would continue to complain about their lot until he came to realize that complaining would never change it. It was their fate to labor in the rocky earth, hacking and ripping at it with their inefficient tools, planting a new crop each season, and subsisting on what they could grow. They had the field and 3 goats, who provided them with enough milk for their cheese and a little extra to trade for flour. In addition, their mother kept 6 hens, who gave them a meagre supply of eggs and, on rare occasions, a bird to roast or boil. And that was life for a farmer in Podranyith, an unvarying, repetitive pattern of exhausting work, constant nagging hunger, boredom, and weariness. There was little joy in it, but it was what it was. And Owen knew there were others who were in even harder straits than the Ap Joneses. Eventually, he thought, Griff would come to realize it and accept it. They crested a hill on the path. On one side of the narrow road, the ground fell away in a steep, shale-covered slope into a valley. On the other, the cliffs rose sheer and bleak. In the distance, 1 kilometer away, they could see the grey huddle of houses that made up Podranyith. There were 10 of them, all similarly built from stone and weathered timber, with dried mud sealing the gaps between the uneven surfaces. The shallow pitched roofs were covered in split stone shingles, and smoke rose from most of the stumpy chimneys. "Nearly home," said Owen, with a note of relief in his voice. At least the house would be warm, and that would be a welcome sensation. The perspiration of the day had soaked his clothes, and it was cold under the evening wind. If Moore's chickens had provided a few extra eggs today, they might be able to trade for a jar of ale from the small tavern that served the village. It didn't often happen. The hens were as poorly fed as the family, but he could hope. Maybe he could. The thought of home comforts was interrupted by a low-pitched, blood-curdling growl. The hair on the back of Owen's neck stood on end, in a primitive reaction to the sound. He stopped in his tracks and looked around, noting that his brothers had also come to a halt. "What was?" Griff began, but Di nudged him with his elbow to silence him. Instinctively, the 3 brothers edged closer together, gripping their hoes protectively, raising them not as tools but as primitive weapons. They stood back to back, facing outward, as they searched their surroundings for the source of the threatening sound. It came again, louder this time, and with a definite note of challenge in it, as if reacting to the sight of the men's hoes. And again, the brothers' blood ran cold at the sound. "Look," said Owen, gesturing at the cliff above and behind them. 5 meters up, a narrow ledge ran along the glistening rock face. On it was crouched a nightmare shape. It was at least 3 meters long and stood 1.5 meters high at its front shoulders. Its front legs were longer than the rear, giving it a hunchbacked appearance. It had the face and general appearance of a wolf, but no wolf they had ever seen or heard of was the size of this one. Its powerful shoulders were tensed, and the thick ruff of fur around its throat was raised, making it appear even larger than it was. It was covered in thick, matted fur, mainly grey, but marked with several black patches. A black
Sample complete. Ready to continue?